everybody, and welcome to the Fortress of Comic News, episode 190. I am one of your hosts, Chris, alongside the traveling Mike.
Hey, still digesting all those carbs from the weekend.
Oh my god. We're having leftovers tonight.
Hey,
so I'm gonna digest some more.
There you go. The best part of Thanksgiving is the turkey sandwich after Thanksgiving dinner at like midnight.
Oh yeah.
That's the way to do it.
So any of the listeners that don't live in the United States, we have this thing called Thanksgiving in America, where we just eat a shitload of food and then fall asleep on our couch watching football. It's awesome.
Yeah, and when you get older, you could eat a shit ton of food and drink a lot.
Yes.
And then pass out of the couch.
So the best part of my Thanksgiving this year was the fact that because of everything going on in the world, COVID, I didn't have to leave the house.
Oh.
So for once, I didn't have to make an hour drive, and then because I usually have to work the following day, an hour drive back, I could literally eat a bunch of food, drink, and pass out on my recliner.
That's awesome. So it was like a typical Thursday for you.
Pretty much.
it was a much needed turkey day, that's for sure. The holidays, they couldn't get here soon enough. Did you get any nice, crazy Black Friday deals and all the crazy stuff?
Nothing like nuts, like just trying to save money on Christmas presents because I'm probably a terrible human for doing this, but I don't care because money's short this year because COVID. Yep. I told the kids that COVID shut down Santa's factory for a little bit, so Christmas is going to be a little bit lighter than it normally
is. That's fine. That's a good way to say it. You know, I don't know. I think that's fine.
I thought it was, but every time I say it out loud, I feel like a terrible human being.
Yeah.
But so yeah, it was a lot of just getting presents for people. So hopefully nobody can hear me. But you know, a lot of Switch games, a lot of Lego sets, a lot of.
Yep.
Apparently, they make Mario Kart Hot Wheels sets now.
What?
Which I might just keep for me and say fuck the kids.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, stuff like that. So
that's really cool. Yeah, I was buying some Switch games too. Well, I got really confused because like Walmart wouldn't let me cash out online, but it would like put the things in my cart. So I had to like go through it on my phone, and then it kept telling me it was sold out unless I did like in-store pickup as opposed to like shipping it to me, because apparently I think Walmart's doing this thing where they want you to like get in the store. So like, yeah, I couldn't order the game to be shipped to me. I had to order it to pick it up at the store in a few days, because they're like, and even if you like go in the store and say, hey, I want this game for this price, they're like, no, you need to like order it online. At the company. It's so weird and complicated. I know they're like trying to do this Amazon thing, but also get people into the store. But I was like, can you just give me my game? Like,
insider story.
Oh.
My brother works for Walmart, and he got promoted to like he's in charge of that whole.
He's big cheese.
What is it like Walmart Plus?
Yeah, it's thing. An Amazon thing, right?
Well, it's a thing where like it's basically like Instacart, but Walmart does it. So like you order it on their website, and then they bring it out to your car, or somebody delivers it. So he's been like in charge of that, and he's told me that like they're really pushing for like curbside stuff, and I think a part of that, they've been laying the groundwork for years to do this, but then like COVID hit, and not to bring up COVID 1,000 times, but this is the world. COVID hit, and it just made it even more important to kind of push it. So I think that's part of it, is maybe they want you to do the curbside thing so they can justify them making all these changes this year.
I guess, but for me, it's like anytime I step foot into Walmart, I try to like, I'm always asking myself, why the hell did I come to Walmart? So like the fact that maybe step foot in there just upsets me to begin with, you know, like,
yeah,
damn it. Why is everything so cheap here? You know,
we go there every week to kind of like, we try to buy all of our groceries at Aldi's because Aldi's rules. But there's certain things you can't buy at Aldi. So usually, like, a good portion of the groceries is at Walmart because it's right there and it's not the other place that I don't like.
Right.
So I have to go there every week, but the entire time I'm there, and whenever like people start like, oh, look at this, look at this, I'm like, can we just leave? Can we just get our stuff and leave? Let's go. Yeah, I want to go.
Yep, exactly. It's like the South Park episode. They're like, what is like, buy like 5 lawnmowers or whatever. It's like, why do you need 5 lawnmowers? But it's a sale. It's a deal. Oh, man.
Well, it's funny because we do a lot of the Walmart online shipping at my job.
Uh-huh.
And I like, you know, sometimes it comes in a Walmart box. You don't know what it is. But a lot of times, like if it's a vacuum cleaner, let's say, they just slap a sticker on the box and ship it.
Oh, okay.
And I can't tell you how many times I've delivered the same exact thing to a house. I'm just like, why do you need 2?
This person's bought 5 vacuum cleaners. they're starting an industry from their home. Anyways, there's not a whole lot of news, but as far as TV goes, I started getting back into watching Survivor.
I've been hearing a few people like doing this revisiting Survivor thing. Is it like this a thing? Or
girlfriend and I had noticed that last weekend on Netflix, or it was 2 weekends, I can't remember, the time is hard for me, but I blame Barry Allen. He fucked up time
a few seasons ago. He runs really fast.
It's never been the same. I don't know what number seasons they released, but they're like newer seasons. There's 2 seasons on Netflix, and I think all the rest of them are on Hulu, but you know, commercials suck. And we sat there and were like, oh, let's watch this Survivor season. I've never seen it. And like, I used to watch it back, you know, we used to watch first 10 seasons. I was like hardcore Survivor fan.
Mm-hmm.
And, started watching it. And then it was like 6 episodes later. I'm like, holy shit, I'm addicted again. and like one of the seasons, they start off by instead of 2 tribes, it's separated into Beauty, Brains, and Brawn. So obviously there's a lot of like drama in between all that shit going on. Oh my God. And like, they always give like the hot mic stuff to the Beauty tribe because they say the dumbest shit. Like, they got these chickens for a reward, and it was like 10 minutes of them trying to figure out like how chickens lay eggs. It was like, and one of the guys is like, well, dinosaurs laid eggs, so you know, eggs came before the chickens. And it was like, what? Anyways, Survivor's awesome. It's like, you sit there like, holy shit, this is awful, but it's also like great TV.
You just melt into it.
Yeah, and then realizing that there's 20 more seasons to watch after these, I'm like, holy shit, well now I know what the Winter Project is. We're going to watch every season.
So that's what it is. It's all on Netflix now. That's why two
more recent seasons. And it's interesting because there's some people on the show that don't need the money. Like the manager of the Miami Marlins is on it. One of them's a retired NBA basketball player that played for quite a few years. So I'm guessing they don't need the money.
Are they playing for like a charity?
No, like they're kind of just mixed in there. And some of the people even consider that when they like vote people out, they're like, well, this person doesn't really need the money. You know, like it's weird because they don't have to tell people who they really are. You know, it's like,
yeah,
but yeah, that's like the guilty pleasure lately is just watching that. It's awesome.
So, longtime fans of the show and Mike know that like my guilty pleasure is sitcoms and how much I love sitcom shows.
Oh yeah.
So I've discovered that on the Peacock app, because yes, I have the Peacock app.
Yeah, Peacock. Sorry.
Is the show King of Queens? Do you remember the show?
Oh yeah, with Paul Blart.
Yeah. So I've been watching that like as you know something to do before I go to bed, because I usually go to bed with something in the background.
Right.
And the first episode, Patton Oswalt's in it, and I forgot he was in that show.
Oh yeah,
and he's such a baby in that episode. Like he's just he looks like he's 16.
Yep. Yeah, it's amazing like how old, like out of time that show is now. But I used to watch it all the because I think it was like on after school or something, or like some weird. I forget what time in the middle of the day it was. I was always like sitting on the couch when that show was on, or it was in the morning or early in the morning. But like. Dude, wasn't Lou Ferrigno his neighbor in that show?
I think later on he is.
Yeah.
But like, it's funny because some of these shows, like, I watched in reruns. Mm-hmm. And the first time I really experienced this was when I bought the Seinfeld DVDs, yep. But I had never like watched them in order before. So like the actual like quote unquote continuity of the show was lost to me. It was just kind of a, this crazy thing happened today.
Right.
So actually watching the pilot to that show and like the premise of how, what's the actor's name?
Kevin James.
No, the father.
Oh, that's Ben Stiller's dad.
Jerry Stiller. That's
Jerry Stiller, yeah.
Of like how Jerry Stiller like comes to the house and lives with them is like, this is the most ridiculous plot ever, but whatever. It's just an excuse to get them all in the room together. Yeah,
Jerry Stiller is so good.
Oh, yeah.
He is so funny.
He steals that show. He was the best parts when he showed up in Seinfeld as well. Like,
oh, yeah.
When it's him and George in the same room, doesn't get better than that. It's awesome.
Yeah, he is so funny.
So that's what I've been watching a lot of recently.
Nice. Yeah, I've been here and there with stuff, watching anime, I got to catch up on Fargo. I'm actually watching Seinfeld all the way through, like, chronologically, because I think it's all on Hulu or something like that, so.
Yeah.
But I also have been watching Mandalorian, so I can't wait to talk about that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess before we get into, like, the meat of the show, now that we're, like, 15 minutes in.
Yeah.
Everybody remembers our old buddy, Rob Stanley. He was on the show for the Bite of Brianna Barlow for the Kickstarter. That was successful. The book went out. But now if you did not get into the Kickstarter, it is available both print and digital on indieplanet.com.
Check it out. Bite of Brianna Barlow, number one.
Yeah, go there. The book is like, it's $1 for the digital copy, and it's... Right. DRM free, yours, PDF, do what you want with it.
Yep.
Or you can order a print-on-demand copy as well. And if you're having trouble finding it, don't worry. It's in the show notes. You can click on that link there.
But this is our first time being shown IndiePlanet.com, and this is a pretty neat website.
Yeah, I'm down with it. Like we were talking before the show. Like there's a whole section of free comics you can download.
Right.
And I know as soon as we're done recording, I'm going to go through these and check some of these out because the quick glance we gave, there was some cool looking stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's another like I had never heard of it before, but it's basically another drive through comics, print on demand, some digital stuff. But it seems to be they only do indie books. So that's a big thing.
Yep.
And it seems to be like curated a little bit nicer than drive-through comics is.
Yeah, drive-through is kind of hard to navigate, but Indie Planet too is kind of a nice name. You know, it's like very convenient finding all the indie stuff at Indie Planet. You know.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So.
Yeah, so check that out. Bite of Brianna Barlow, number one, by our good friend Rob Stanley, and you know, telepathic vampire that has a dachshund, whatever you call it, Chris.
A dachshund. A wiener dog.
Wiener dog. There you go. I mean, who doesn't want to read a book about that? Come on.
And listen, not to spoil 2021 for anybody, but like he might be back on the show because there might be another issue coming out. I don't know. I can't say, but that might be happening.
Hey, well, there you go. Even more of a reason to read it so you can be caught up and we can talk about it together. Yeah, because Chris and I have read it, and it is good stuff, certified fresh.
It is indeed. It's the Portrait of Comic News seal of approval.
There you go.
We should make that seal, by the way.
Yeah. I don't think we can certify things fresh. I think Rotten Tomatoes has a trademark on that, so.
I'm going to certify it platinum. I don't know.
Sure. Platinum. He went with it. So anyways, we're going to jump into the little bit of news there are. Apparently there's reports of Boba Fett getting his own Disney Plus series that's going to take place before the events of Mandalorian. So if anybody knows, I mean, is that confirming that we see Boba Fett in the first episode? Kind of.
I guess, yeah.
But the fact that they're like, oh, everybody freaked out. This is a test. They do this stuff to, like, test the market. It's like their market testing of, like, Well, we're going to drop in Boba Fett. Where's the reaction? Where's the Google searches? Oh, bam, look how many, you know, 5 million people searched for this. So let's give him his own show, pretty much.
So I'll talk about more when we get into Mandalorian, but like I feel like this entire season is a collection of backdoor pilots, and this is the first one.
Yeah, for real. That like you get the backdoor pilot for him, you get the backdoor pilot for oh my god, I can't think of the actor's name that played the guy with the Boba Fett armor.
Actor.
You get a backdoor pilot for there's a lot of people that are unhappy with the shock trooper actress, but we won't get into that. So maybe she won't get her own show. But you could, and then obviously with the newest episode we're about to talk about, I mean, there's like, you could go like six different shows here.
Yeah. But I mean, Boba Fett in his own show, I'm down. I don't know if it would have the staying power of The Mandalorian.
Right.
I think it would do best as like maybe a one season thing, like just do it once, get it out there and just be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been wrong once or twice before, so I'm just down. I'm down for more Star Wars, especially if it's to this quality.
Right.
And I mean, it's Boba Fett, man.
Come on. Take everyone's money. And I don't know, just like, even if they did like a short movie or like a few episodes of like what happened in between the Sarlacc, and just show me the scene of the Sarlacc.
I mean, that's how the show has to start, right? Like,
right. You
come out just blowing your load. He just flies out of the Sarlacc pit or whatever, you know, with an explosion behind him.
Right, right.
Like, that's how it has to start.
That's how you get people's attention.
Yeah.
Marvel 616. What's this? You watched it?
So yeah, it's I recommend that everybody go out and watch this. If you have Disney Plus, it's another great thing on Disney Plus. It's a collection of short documentaries based around the Marvel universe. And what I like about it is it's not like there's not an episode on how Spider-Man was created, an episode on how the Hulk was created. It's what it is there's one episode about like creating toys and working with Hasbro and Funko how that happens, that collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
There's an episode on the history of women at Marvel and some of the new women that have come to write, draw, color, etc. at Marvel and some of their stories. And I believe in that episode, it might be a separate one, but they also do kind of how Miss Marvel was created and why Miss Marvel was created.
What's
cool there is there's actually an editor at Marvel who is basically Miss Marvel. Like, she grew up in New Jersey. She's a Muslim woman who is now an editor at Marvel, and that character is basically created to be her. Like, she really puts in her experiences to it. So there's a lot of really great stuff in there. There's a lot of deep stuff in there. But most importantly, they do an episode with former Fortress Comic News guest Paul Scheer, where they talk about brute force.
Nice.
And that episode in particular, like, I liked it because they talked about brute force, but it almost feels a little scripted because it's him trying to make a brute force cartoon for Disney Plus.
Okay.
And I don't know how much of it's real and not real.
Right.
And I know some of this is all played up. Anyone who's paid attention, there's been some controversy around one of the episodes about the Marvel Method, which is they follow Dan Slott creating Iron Man 2020 and how he implements the Marvel Method and what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who doesn't know, it's basically loose plot. You give it to the artist. The artist really creates the story and the flow, and then you go back in and write the wording, the letters. And there's been some controversy because Dan Slott plays it up a little bit in that, and even his collaborators come to defend him. But that episode's really great too, because it really shows like not only how it's done today, but then they talk a lot about how it was implemented back in the day and why it was implemented.
Interesting.
There's just a lot of like stuff in there that you wouldn't really necessarily think of when you think of a Marvel doc. Like I said, history of women in Marvel. my favorite episode is they follow two artists, and one was the artist for Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
Oh, cool.
And I forget her name, but she was really great. And then the other is Javier Garon, who does Miles Morales Spider-Man.
Cool.
And the whole premise there is they're both from Latin America. They both speak Spanish.
Mm.
So a lot of the episodes, like, reading what they're saying, because they're speaking Spanish throughout the entire mm-hmm. thing. But what I loved about that episode is not only, like, getting into kind of the creative process of a lot of things that they do in terms of the art and kind of the background, why they're there, but Javier in particular has some moments where, like, holy shit, a cat just went nuts. Javier in particular, in this, like, he really shows, he talks about how, like, it took him almost 10 years of doing just art without a day job to get at Marvel, and the kind of the devotion it took to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, he was a really good artist, and he had done his whole life, and he had gotten a degree in art. And then he's like, I can't draw buildings. How am I going to do comics? Oh, I know. I'll go get an architecture degree.
Wow.
And ended up dropping out of school. So, like, there's just great moments throughout it. And I just think it's really well done, each episode and how they handle things. Cool. So I recommend everybody watch it. I really liked it.
Something I watched too, A Mandalorian this week. And, man, they started that episode out this week, guns blazing.
Yes.
Chris and I, it must have slipped our minds because I remember talking about it, but I mean, this is spoilers for Mandalorian, but if you haven't watched it yet, are you even a fan? Rosario Dawson playing Ahsoka. She looks fantastic.
Yeah.
This is like, she's always been great and been in a lot of stuff, but this is something like, she's a very iconic character. I mean, Star Wars fans love this character. So the fact that she did it, and I'm not any huge, I don't know a lot about her. I mean, I've seen Ahsoka and like Clone Wars stuff, but other than that, like, I don't have a really big connection to the character, but I think she nailed it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's everything about it, from the look to the act, to where she would be in that point in her life,
right,
from where Clone Wars ended and actually where Rebels ended as well.
Yep.
To where she is today. Like, I thought she was amazing, and I was so happy every moment with her in it. And it was also just nice that it was a Star Wars show and I got to see a lightsaber again.
Right. And, the poking fun throughout the last couple episodes, like the M count, right, the midichlorian count, this episode, they say laser sword again. So we know that saying laser sword is a reoccurring thing happening. And you know what's funny? So here's the connection I made, right? Because people are talking about, there's a conversation that's like, we find out Ahsoka won't train
Grogu.
Yes. And we find out, yeah, the little baby Yoda has a name, Grogu, which is, I'm okay with that name. And the Mandalorian says laser sword, right? Now, we then have Ahsoka say, you need to take him to the top of a Jedi temple, and maybe a Jedi will come find you. And the only other person we've ever heard say laser sword in the universe of Star Wars, correct me if I'm wrong, is Luke Skywalker, right? And he says, what do you think, I'm going to defend this whole place with a laser sword, right?
I'm drawing a blank. Might be, but I'm not going to say.
I think he says that in The Last Jedi.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know he says it. I'm just trying to think of anyone else who said laser sword.
Right, and I'm just thinking, like, where would he get the moment to say that unless he meets Mandalorian, who has already said it? You know what I mean? I don't know. It was just like a little connection like that, and people are already speculating that the Jedi that comes to look for him is going to be Luke. Which,
yeah, there's a few speculations. Luke's one, because it's been rolling around forever that Sebastian Stan looks exactly like Mark Hamill when he was younger, and would be a perfect young Luke Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
There's also Ezra Miller from Rebels. As far as we know, he's still alive.
Who does Ezra Miller play?
That's the name of the character.
Oh, I thought you meant the actor. I was like, what the hell?
Oh, no. Wait. Maybe I'm getting the last name wrong, but his first name is Ezra.
Okay.
From Rebels. And he's a possibility. I think that's kind of... That might be dipping too much in the Rebels bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I don't know. I mean, there's not a lot going on out there. I think Luke makes the most sense because around this time, he would have been at least thinking about starting the temple.
And, right, gathering Jedi, yeah.
And I would have to really dive into the timeline, but you would think around here is when Ben started training or at least started showing promise.
Right. Yep.
So, I mean, that would be awesome because dude, just to get Sebastian Stan in there. And, I mean, he's already in the Disney family, so.
Right.
I think that'd be great. I'd be down for that.
So many other Easter eggs, though, right? Like, who's the blue guy from Rebels? Because Ahsoka is basically hunting him, right? Is that what she says in the episode? Or looking for him?
So, yeah. So, first, that's I think this is a backdoor pilot for an Ahsoka show.
Okay.
At least Ahsoka in, like, miniseries or something. Because, yeah, Admiral Thrawn, one of the, like... He's been a villain since the original Extended Universe.
Okay.
That people loved. There's been novels after novels about him. I know I talked about the comic series on this show when it was coming out. Mm-hmm. And he was on Rebels. So he's... That's who she's looking for. So that's where I'm kind of like, she spins off, and I could see them announcing, like, hey, we're going to do that as a TV show, and we got this guy to play Thrawn. I could also see that being, like, a comic series or a novel if they can't make it work. I mean, Star Wars, especially, and Disney as a whole is good at that, like, laying these threads, and I mean, like, if we're going to do it here, we're going to do it there.
Yep.
More Thrawn is always good. More people knowing about Thrawn is good. He's such a great villain.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm down with that.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, my favorite Easter egg in the entire episode, the two droids, the assassin droids,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you caught it, but they're referred to as HK droids, HK droids, which is a Easter egg from Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh.
And if you remember in that game, you could get an HK droid on your team.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of my favorite memories from those games. That was back when I had lots of time to waste.
Yeah.
And I would play those games twice, once in the light side, once in the dark side. And the secret about all those types of games, it's always fun to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
And my dark side playthrough, I had the HK droid, and then there was like a little R2 droid, and they were both evil and wanted to kill things. This is before, like, this guy showed up on... And it was always funny because you had him with the blaster.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have your team walk in, he being the blaster on one side, then the little R2 droid would just, like, have a little pistol blaster over cover, just, like, gatting people from the side.
That's awesome.
I was a lot of fun with that, but I love that reference there. And then the sword fight was great, too. I thought they did a really good job with
it. Yeah, we know that Beskar doesn't get cut by a lightsaber, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, in which they remind you early in the episode when she attacks Mando.
Yeah, that, like, oh, this is pretty cool. Also, the fact that, like, he's corrupted Grogu by being with him already, that he might be in, you know, it might end up on the dark side, or it was pretty interesting.
I like that too, because it fits in with Ahsoka Tano. She watches Anakin fall to the dark side because of his attachment to somebody.
Right.
And that's, you know, what Grogu happened. Like, Grogu has a father figure now. He's kind of fallen for somebody and really, like, connected.
Right.
And having that connection affects your ability to be unbiased with the Force.
Yep. So a lot of it's a lot more complicated than just dropping off the baby at the Jedi Academy and being done with him.
Yeah, and it makes more sense, too, that she wouldn't want to because of her experiences. Mm-hmm. And then bringing in somebody like Luke to be the one to be like, I will take him, I will train him.
Yeah.
Because Luke wasn't that person. Like, Luke has connections. Luke isn't your traditional Jedi.
Right.
In the way that Ahsoka was, or the way that Anakin was. And those are actually bad examples. The way that Obi-Wan was.
Right.
Where they actually came up in the system and were part of the cult and... trained as a child. So I just love that this is all happening. This episode was by far the best, in my opinion, for the fan of Star Wars, especially fan like me who's been with it all these years.
Yeah, it's what a great episode. That's now with the good Star Wars news, we have the sad Star Wars news. Darth Vader himself, Dave Prowse, has passed away at age 85. So this was the Vader actor, and we all know that, you know, I can't think of his name right now, stole the show, stole Vader with his voice.
But this is the man that played him. This is the man that was in the suit.
Right. And we do get a glimpse of him, right, in Return of the Jedi, don't we?
We don't, actually. So there's an amazing documentary called I Am Your Father.
Okay.
I believe you can get it on Amazon. I probably talked about it when it came out, but
I think so.
If you haven't seen it, go watch it, because the whole premise of that was he wasn't the actor that got to play Vader when they took the helmet off.
Oh.
So they wanted to reshoot that scene and give him his time to be that person.
Right.
And that thread isn't that strong. Like, it's kind of whatever.
Yeah.
But everything around it, him, like, because he really stayed in the fandom and really, like, immersed himself in Star Wars and, like, him giving stories and talking about the history of the movies and everything, that's what really keeps that documentary together. So if you want to celebrate his life this week, I think that's the best way, because it's a really great documentary, and it's all about him and how he affected the role of Vader even before the voice
came out.
James Earl Jones, thank you.
Yeah, so very sad that he passed away, 85, and hopefully the reconnecting with the Star Wars fans and community, you know, gave him some fulfillment in life with all that. And I think he was at cons quite a bit too, I think, right? I remember. Was. Yeah, so.
And at that 85, good on him for making it to 85. Like, damn, that's a long time.
Yep. Yeah, the man behind the Vader suit, you know? Who would have thought he'd still be chopping people down even in Rogue One? So, one of the most iconic villains of all time. I mean, come on, what a legacy to have, you know?
Yeah, like he'll and, live like, forever.
Everybody knows Darth Vader. like it's crazy. Anyways, let's get to the comic book news. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Some good news. Chris and I are always big fans of the Super Sons series, so Mr. Peter J. Tomasi is coming back. They're bringing back Super Sons. The series is titled Challenge of the Super Sons, and will come first to digital platforms December 14th with print versions 2021. Don't know why all that's happening, but I'm still excited about Super Sons coming back.
Yeah, it's probably part of their, what are they calling it, DC Unlimited thing?
Yeah. Right.
They want more digital stuff. I don't care. More Super Sons. I love Super Sons. And I love Peter Tomasi writing comics, and I love Peter Tomasi writing Super Sons.
Yeah. And then what we read this week. I know you didn't read much, huh?
So, yeah, we'll throw that out there. We talked about Black Friday at the beginning. I did not pick up my books because I overspent on Black Friday.
As one does.
So I'll have a lot to talk about next week, hopefully.
I will talk. I tried some books. I didn't actually finish all my books. I only have a few to talk about. That the other history of DC Universe came out. That the Black Label book.
Yeah, I'm interested in that.
I don't know if it was just because it was about Black Lightning. I mean, I understand what they're doing with the book. It really is just a history of a character. This one's about Black Lightning, and it was more. I mean, it's a lot of reading. I mean, there's some pages that are just all text. But there's some good art. It didn't grab me. It was, you know, it's John Ridley and Giuseppe Cumincoli on art. So the art's really good, and I get what they're good. I mean, I think it's really well done. It just didn't grasp me, and I think that's the fact that, like, I understand you want to tell the history of Black Lightning. Like, there's some history there, too, with, like, the civil rights, and they talk about play on that and stuff like that. So I think that book is there for someone. It just wasn't me, but I do believe it's good content. So you might like it.
So I originally had zero interest in this because I was told it was a prose book.
Yeah.
Then as like reviews started coming out, I found out that there was some comic stuff in there too. So you're saying it's a mishmash of both.
Yeah, it's a mixture. So like one page will be prose and then like there'll be some art around it, and it's okay, but like it didn't read as quickly as a comic for me, and that was kind of frustrating. You know, like I wasn't prepared for it almost.
Yeah, and the other thing I'll say is, and this is not by any stretch a knock at the book, but I don't think it's just Black Lightning. I think it's a viewing of DC history through the lens of not necessarily a black man, but a marginalized group.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what they're going for there. Because correct me if I'm wrong, but John Ridley is a African-American gentleman. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and I don't know if like next issue is not going to be about Black Lightning. They pick someone else or something like that.
That's what I'm getting at. That's what I thought it is. Mm-hmm. Like I'm zoning on, cause I know Marvel better. I'm zoning on another like black character,
but so you got Mr. Terrific. You got,
So maybe next
John Stewart.
So what I thought was this one was going to be Black Lightning during Crisis or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
And the next one would be John Stewart during, I don't know, Infinite Crisis.
Right.
And like how they perceived it.
Yeah, it was interesting. It's definitely there for someone, just not me. I know Future State number one came out. I didn't get into that yet.
Was that the preview?
Like? Yeah, I think it was like the preview issue of Future State. So I really didn't know what to expect there. Plus, like, you know, you look at the cover of Future State and I'm like, I don't care about any of these characters. You know, I pulled up the cover and I was like, oh yeah, that's this book, pass for now.
So real quick, I was going through the Future State books because we had to order them the past couple months.
Right.
And so the Aquaman one right off the bat, I was like, I'm interested in this because it directly connects to what's happening in Aquaman right now, because that's supposed to be his daughter that they're talking about currently.
Right, right.
And then there's a few Superman books that is just Superman, but he's old, and it's written by good writers, so I'm interested.
Right.
Outside of that, I don't know who any of these people are.
Yeah, like, yeah, there's a lot of books coming, and some of them are just kind of meh. But I guess we'll see. I'm sure, you know, reviews will come out. This is the best thing I've ever read. So we'll wait and see.
I mean, Future State Harley Quinn will be.
Oh, yeah. Legion of Superheroes number 11. I think this is the second to last issue. This is Bendis and Ryan Sook on the art. Basically, we found out last issue there's a new Krypton. And Superboy doesn't know about it. New Krypton gets attacked by Rogol Zar, who's like the big Superman bad guy. And basically the issue ends with him and Rogol about to fight. So there's a cat behind you. That was awesome. You just got juked. You looked one way and he jumped behind you, the other side. Oh no.
Reno. Come on, buddy.
That's so funny.
This is all staying in the show.
Yep. Batman Superman number 14. This wraps up the Brainiac War. This is Josh Williamson and Rayner on the art. It wraps up like any big fight wraps up, but I'm more excited what the tease with the title for the next issue is, Solomon Grundy story coming up next. So
I just enjoy a good Solomon Grundy story.
Yeah, Brainiac is just kind of like, there's robots, and you know, you got to fight the robots. So like, that was cool and all, but give me Solomon Grundy. I think that's more interesting. Injustice Year Zero number 11, Tom Taylor, C.N. Torme. The Justice League brings everyone to the Watchtower because they kind of understand what's going on. They know what's going on, that someone is possessing the Justice Society and going around killing them. And so Black Canary goes to her mom's house to like say, hey, our family members are all being recruited to we're going to the Watchtower because that's where everybody's going to be safe. Well, the Joker has already possessed the mom. So, you know, she packs things up and heads on up. And when she gets to the Watchtower, Black Canary's mother has screech powers and she does a sonic scream and like blows out the side of the watchtower into space. So they're short issues. This series has been great, and it's like, you know, he's not holding back. It's definitely an adult book for sure. So that's all I had. I got some other stuff I got to catch up on. So I guess we'll probably talk about more next week with our books. But
yeah, I'll say it. I mean, I caught up on Aquaman, got up to the wedding. That was really good. I read Star Wars Adventures Clone Wars that I had like four issues piled up, and I was like, oh, I'll read these. That's really fun. If you like Clone Wars, it's more Clone Wars stuff in comic form.
Yep.
And a few other things. Somebody really wants attention.
I guess so.
Speaking of Star Wars, Mr. Greedo. And a few other random things. So I did get to read a little bit, but I just didn't read anything new, unfortunately, this week. But next, can we talk real quick about how awesome next week's books are going to be?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, we got King in Black coming out.
Got Wonder Woman, Dark Knight's Death Metal.
Yeah, I just did the list, too.
Red Atlantis, number 2, Stephanie Phillips, represent.
Yeah, and that first issue was so good. Batman Catwoman's coming out next week, dude.
That might be my least favorite. Well, it is a Black Label book now, right? So, okay, maybe I am excited for this now. Okay.
I'm not going to pick it up, but, I mean, Justice League Endless Winter's coming out. I know people are excited about that. There's so many good things coming out, though.
Yep.
Oh, anybody doesn't know, there's a book coming out called Smash Comics Special 2020. It's a collection of short stories, but it has Charlie Adler story in it. It's all cool. British creators. I'm really looking forward to that, too.
Awesome.
Good stuff. But yeah, so, Mike, where can people find you on that internet?
They can find me at Fortress Ricker on Twitter. Where can they find you and or the show?
They can find me at Fortress Chris on Twitter at my website, chrisrunt.com. Remember, everybody, all these links are down below in the show notes. And you can find the show at fortresscomicnews.com. Everything we do is right there on the handy dandy website, including if you want to check out next week's comics. We got a list up there along with Mike and I's pick of the week. If you're listening to us, give us a 5-star review on whatever podcatcher you are using. Like, subscribe, share, comment down below on the YouTubes. And if you want to go the extra mile, remember patreon.com/fortresscomicnews. And hey, everybody, if somebody wants to use it, Christmas is almost here. You probably did some Black Friday shopping, but you got to do more, right? Well, we have that click through on the top of the page for Amazon, and you can buy Amazon stuff there and support the show as well.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you all so much for listening this week, and we will see you all next week.
Bye.